to the Daily Regrounding Podcast, a space where together we can step into and steep in the natural world around us. Through interviews with experts in life, health, and business, as well as some solo regrounding riffs, we'll create mindful moments and deep breaths, allow for perspective and pause, and ultimately feel more connected and deeply content. I am your host, Meredith Ewenson. Let's dive in. All right, welcome back to the podcast. I am here with my friend Jamie. She's an abstract artist living in Rockaway Beach, New York, with her husband and little cat family. And after graduating college with degrees in psychology and visual arts, she pursued a master's degree in behavioral psychology. And in 2020, she transitioned from a 14-year career working with children with autism to focus on her art full-time. Intuition, thoughts, feelings, memories, and inspiration gathered from nature merged together to inform the direction of Jamie's work. And through the use of muted color palettes and contrasting textural elements, Jamie's paintings bring a sense of calm to the spaces that they occupy. Welcome, Jamie.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here.
I am so happy to chat with you. This is actually the first time we've met face-to-face.
Yes.
Actually, because we met through Instagram is where I found you, through Molly Sapli, who has been on the podcast before. And I feel like you and I quickly bonded over a few things. One was our love for animals.
Mm-hmm.
I have a dog, and I think we both love all animals. Yeah. Our love for visiting the ocean as a place of grounding and inspiration. So you're in Rockaway Beach in New York. I'm in Rhode Island. So we both have similar weather and similar kind of New England vibes, which obviously I could see right away in your work and just through your Instagram. Our love for texture in nature, which I love so much. And also the propensity to put rocks and shells and things in our pockets and bring them home.
Yeah. Every jacket I have basically has like sand or shells in it. So
my phone this morning, every time I put it in my pocket and took it out, it was sand like around the edge. And I'm like, what? I don't even remember putting anything in this pocket, but there's sand in my pockets. And actually the other day, my husband was like, he said to me, he was like, I really never thought you'd be the person to bring shells home and line them up on the windowsill. And I was like, okay, I didn't either, but I'm not really bringing home shells. I'm bringing home like the texture and the color and the vibe and the energy of like the ocean and the space I was in. Like, do you know how I do?
My husband is just like going with it now, but there was definitely a point where he was just like, what is happening? Because I would just, every time I'd go out for a walk, I'd come back with like either shells, or one time we were walking and I like made him carry this like 20-pound, like driftwood home.
Yeah.
And I was like, we're really in it now. So he gets it.
Yeah. I actually, speaking of 20-pound thing you found in nature, I brought a huge rock home from the beach, and it's really cool because it's two rocks fused together. One side is almost black and the other is like quartz. So it's like white and it split directly down the middle. So it's just caught my eye and it was just really cool. So it's huge. It's like the size of a cinder block, and I brought it home and I put it just on the radiator. Mm-hmm. And I kind of at first put it there just like, I'm not sure where this is going to go. I'm just going to set it here. And it kind of stayed there for a while. And then even my husband was like, oh, I kind of like this. It's like a hot rock because it's on the radiator.
Oh, okay.
Like it, as if you're like in a sauna or something like that. So it's kind of stayed there. So yes, there's like little touches like that around my house too. And just little collections of nature. And
yeah, I love it. Me too. Love it.
So tell me your story about becoming an artist. Like, is it something, have you always been artistic? I know a couple of years ago, you really shifted into doing it full time. What's your story with that? And where, when, and how did nature begin to kind of make its way into that?
So yeah, so my history with art goes way back. Like my mom, she actually enrolled me in oil painting classes when I was like 8 years old. And I remember, like, vividly remember these because as like an 8-year-old kid, I wanted to be outside running around and like just free. But these classes were like 3 hours long in this like big red art barn. There was a gallery downstairs and like a little studio upstairs. And I ended up really loving them. And like thinking back, a lot of my foundation came from those classes. These teachers taught us like we were adults. Mm. So we learned a lot of like advanced concepts. And so I learned about like mixing colors and like how to apply the paint. And I've never worked with oils since then. So like, this is my one and only experience. But it kind of got me really interested in art in like a more, I don't know, formal way. And then moving ahead in time, I went to college for initially just psychology. And then I had some electives, like I needed to take an elective. So I took a drawing and painting class and I just kept taking art classes like until I had enough credits where it was like actually a major now. But I loved it, that like it like as an adult or a young adult, that was really, I don't know, like reinvigorated my love of art. And that was when I discovered abstract art. So I think I was a senior and I had taken an abstract art class, and looking back at what I painted then, I was already starting to incorporate texture into my work. We did this big senior art show. It was like our last thing that we did. And I painted ridiculous now thinking back, but it was a massive, just huge. And this was like a show that was, our parents came to and all the other students came to. It was huge. It was 8 feet by like 10 feet. Wow. It was four big panels of four big canvases together. And it was so dark. Like I was a very happy, sunny person, but it was like black and dark blue, all of this texture all the texture I could find at the store. Cause at that point, I don't know, I was just buying it and trying it. So, my mom, I remember her coming and she's like, "Are you okay?" But I don't know. I don't think I've ever painted that big since. So
wild. That's like,
they're all at my parents' house, like somewhere. They're not up on the wall though.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. That's huge. That's like size of a mural. So were you just kind of just experimenting?
Yeah. And also expressing myself, because if I look back at that time, it was a transitional period in my life. And I was really nervous about graduating and figuring out my life. And I had just gone through a breakup. So all of those, I was starting to learn that I could use painting as an outlet. Hmm. And when I graduated, that is what I really thought that I was going to do with art. I guess like a lot of people who study art in college, you don't really think that you can do anything with it. At least I didn't at that time. So I focused on psychology and I went that route. And I just thought, I'll always have this as my outlet, so I can always do this. And that made me feel okay. Like I wouldn't waste it. So I went ahead and I started to study psychology, and that's how I got into the career that I ended up pursuing. But yeah, so that's sort of my story with art up until that point. And then throughout my adulthood, I would go back to it. And there was a period again in my like late 20s where I picked it up. And now I was serious about it, sort of serious about it, but I was getting my master's and I had all of a sudden had a little bit more free time because I was working part-time too. So I was living alone. So I would wake up, I would maybe go to yoga, or I had to like physically step over my art stuff to mm-hmm. get to my kitchen and everything else. So with it out all the time, I would go back to it and just pick it up whenever. Mm-hmm. So that was a really nice outlet for me during that period of time when I was focusing on school. And during that time too, I was thinking back about this like when you asked me to do this interview, and I was thinking back about nature and when that kind of came into my life, it's really been there all along. Like if I really go back, it's been there all along. Like as a kid, I was really always in the mud, playing around, coming up with games. But then around this time in my 20s, when I started painting again, I also started to try to use nature as like an escape from where I was living. Like I was living in Jersey City. It was I didn't have a whole lot of contact with nature. Mm-hmm. So I remember there was the first time I did this, it was the best. Like I just woke up on a Saturday, got in my car, and I just drove an hour to the beach. Mm-hmm. And then I like sometimes would go hiking by myself, and I would just use that as, I don't know, it was just, I guess at that point, I didn't think of it as regrounding or grounding in nature, but that's really what I was doing. Mm-hmm. By seeking it out.
Mm. You intuitively knew that you were drawn there, probably similarly to how it sounds like you would kind of come and go with your art too. Like you would just feel the urge to move towards it. And then if you feel like, okay, that feels complete for right now, then kind of move away from it. Oh, that's beautiful. And with your background in psychology and art, did you ever, or have you ever combined the two, like art therapy or anything like that? I mean, certainly it sounds like art has been a therapy for you.
Yeah.
But what has it been like kind of having a lot of expertise and experience in both of those areas?
So it's funny that you say that, because that is what I thought I wanted to do initially. Right out of college, I actually volunteered at an art therapy group right out of college. And it was really interesting. I thought it was fascinating, but I was really nervous about making art my job in that way, because I didn't want to, I was like protecting it. Like I wanted it to be my thing, and I didn't want to ruin it by making it my career.
Right.
So, I shifted towards behavioral psychology. I didn't plan to do that, but the first job I got out of college was in a classroom for kids with autism. And I just fell in love with the kids. Like I loved the way that they saw the world. And like, I loved that there was something really peaceful about, because in behavioral psychology, you're really breaking down like big tasks into really small steps. And for me, that was like really calming.
Mm-hmm.
So they're two totally different fields, but I find a lot of overlap between the two. And so when I was pursuing my master's, it really like art was really such a, I don't know, a release, but a way for me to connect and check in with myself, which is really what psychology is about. So.
Oh, that's really fascinating. And I know now you, as part of your practice, go into nature, like go to the beach, because you live on the beach. So I know that's a big place of inspiration for you. So it's both an inspiration for your work, but is it also kind of its own mindfulness practice, sort of in the way that art has been, and perhaps in the way that, you know, behavioral therapy might be for some people? Like, is it sort of also that place of, you know, quote therapy, if you will, for you?
Yeah. I mean, that's really how it started for me. The pandemic and being here home all the time, that's kind of when I started to be more intentional about getting outside. Like I would always go outside. We were surfing a lot before this, and like, we were always outside, but I started to go out by myself, and I don't know. For me, I needed that for my mental health. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like I was doing something good for myself. And then what would just naturally happen is I'd come home and then feel inspired to paint. And so they just fed off of each other, and it became this cycle. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much where I'm at now. Like anytime I try to get outside every day, I don't always, but I try. But I always find that I'm happier. I'm just calmer and definitely more creative when I get out there.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a reset button. Like I feel like getting outside is a bit of a recalibration. Like it kind of for me anyway, and I think it sounds like for you too, like kind of feels like it brings you back to baseline. So that then you're like, okay, this is like my touch point. This is where I can now create from or feel more relaxed because I'm, you know, maybe was stressed about XYZ. So I'm totally with you on that. And I know texture is a big part of your work, and at the beach is where you find a lot of that inspiration. So what are some of your favorite textures that you see at the beach or wherever you go and that you kind of love the most and tend to bring into your work?
So I started to become really like nerdy and fascinated by oyster shells over the past like 6 months. Because if you really look at them up close, there's just such subtle variations of colors. And then the texture color combination on these shells, it's if you look really look, you'll see that the texture is sort of jagged, and like the way that it like interacts with the softness of the colors, I'm really inspired by that. Mm-hmm. And then driftwood, like the variations in color of driftwood that I found, and then sand, like I love bringing sand into the texture of my paintings. And then, yeah, so, I mean, I love beach grass, like, and recently I found a couple pieces of like driftwood, I mean, like leftover bonfire wood, like charred wood, and have brought that home using that in my work. So,
basically. I love those. And I love that they not only are an inspiration, but then you can also bring them physically into your work. So you like sprinkle sand or you'll use charcoal almost like it's a, I don't know, pastel or pencil or something like that.
Yeah. So I'll mix, I've been using limestone powder and mixing that with paint. And so that gives a really nice, like almost plaster-like look to a painting. And then with sand, sometimes I'll mix it with like a, they make like these acrylic gel mediums. So it's like, I'll mix it with that. It's clear. So when you do that, it, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but like it, the sand texture remains, it just adheres it better to the canvas. Mm-hmm. And I love right now working with like lighter washes of paint in contrast with these elements. Mm. I think it, I don't know, it makes for like a much more interesting surface. So yeah.
Yeah, actually, speaking of oyster shells, I actually meant to send you a photo.
Yeah.
Because when I, because I've said to you before, I mean, in Rhode Island, we have oyster shells, but the beach I go to isn't, you know, positioned in the direction such that we get a lot of oyster shells on the beach. So I've only found a couple. And I have one here. But when I was in Florida recently, I was at the beach and found a couple oyster shells there. And what I found really fascinating was how just the similarities and differences when you go to different places, like it's a beach, it's an oyster shell, but they're different shapes. They're slightly different colors. The ridges, the texture is a little bit different. So I always feel like it's endlessly fascinating the things that you can find, whether it's the same place you go to all the time where you just see something different wash up on the beach or the season's different. Right. Which makes colors and textures and things just different, but also like going to new places.
Yeah.
And just finding new inspiration there as well. Other than the beach, do you have any other landscapes or locations that inspire you or have in the past for any collections that you've done?
I don't know about past collections, at least like this year, because my style has kind of changed. And I, in the beginning of this year, I was really like color focused. And I do feel like that was because I needed to get it out. Like I felt sometimes I'll paint the colors that I want to see, like I need to see, which is why I go back to blues a lot. They're just really calming to me. But when I am upstate or in the woods, I feel pretty much equally as peaceful and grounded as I do on the coast. So I find a lot of inspiration when we go, we haven't gone in a little while, but when we go upstate or go hiking, I'm really inspired by the colors that I've found there.
And I find it interesting too, sometimes like when we are people who create things, that we don't always get inspiration from like our immediate medium, you know? So our, obviously nature is one place where you receive a lot of inspiration. I know for me, I am not an artist. I don't paint. I don't draw. I am not good at any of those things. I don't do them. However, following people and connecting with people like you and admiring and enjoying the work that you do as an artist is inspiring to me for what I do, which might be writing or creating meditations or just whatever sort of creative expression I might have. I find it interesting to be inspired by things that actually, like, yes, we have the connection of nature in common, but but to be inspired by things that are of a completely different like industry or different style even. Do you have any other, like any kind of, not unorthodox, but like things that inspire you that might seem a little random or different things that you look to or that you follow or that you enjoy that even indirectly kind of support your inspiration?
Instagram is a huge source of, you can find anything on there, but I am really inspired by some other artists that I'm friends with now. I think it naturally happened, but I'm following and friends with a bunch of artists who are using nature in their work. So it's really cool for me to see how other artists use nature and then see that the end result, I mean, even though we might be using similar materials, the end result is so different.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been cool for me. And then I love looking at like interior decorating. Like I love neutrals and just like coziness. And I don't seek out like accounts, interior decorating accounts, but I do love to look at decorating and how people decorate, you know, that's interesting to me. I'm very neutral, like in my life, I'm kind of like afraid of color. So our house is very, very neutral and, cozy.
So
I get inspiration from just like feeling cozy.
Yes. Actually, I'm totally with you on that because I also have no, I don't do anything in interior design whatsoever.
Yeah.
But when I see a space that feels really soothing and calming and like somewhere I just want to be.
Yeah.
That is so inspiring to me. And it's interesting now that you say that interior design also, or spaces also inspire you because your art goes in spaces.
Right.
So do you, I don't know. That's just kind of interesting to me. Like, do you feel like you gravitate towards spaces that your art would really fit well into and kind of vice versa? Like, does that kind of inspire you in that way?
I think so, because my art, like what I really want my art to emit is just peace. Like I want wherever my art is, whether it lives on Instagram for people or someone purchases a piece, I see my art fitting into spaces that I admire, like because I want my art to contribute in some way to wherever it ends up. So I really just want my art to feel peaceful, calming, soothing, and all of those things are things that I feel while I'm creating art. So I think that's always been, even from the start, I have always just wanted to kind of like convey that feeling that I feel when I'm creating it to others when they look at it.
Mm. So it's like you're infusing the energy that it's bringing you while making it into the creation that then hopefully is received by the person who views it. Like you said, even just scrolling your Instagram. I mean, literally your work, I feel like, is so peaceful and calming that even just landing on your page, like for a lot of people might be like an exhale, you know? And I love that that's also kind of how you feel when creating it. That's a really beautiful, like, symbiotic relationship. So to talk a little bit more about your creative process, do you have any more, like, what does that look like for you? Do you have any rituals that kind of get you into that creation mode? Do you sort of just drop into it whenever you feel like it? Like, what does that look like for you?
Yeah. So my studio is just a room in our house. So, I will like pop in there in the morning. Like usually I'll have my coffee. My mornings are slower. And then I just try to follow my own energy. So like if I walk into my studio and like the sun is coming through the windows and my art is out, I might turn on some music or something and paint a little and then stop, you know, and go do something else. So I don't know that I would love to have like a ritual or like set rituals. And like, I think I am incorporating more now that I'm getting outside. And like you and I talked the other day about essential oils, which I would love to incorporate into like my pre-painting, even into my paintings, like we were talking about.
Yeah.
But I love to listen to music. I sometimes, if I can't get outside, I'll listen to the meditation you did for me.
Mm.
And that almost like takes the place. I mean, it really transports me into nature. Like I really do feel like it grounds me, calms me. So sometimes I'll add that to my routine.
Well, I love all those little different kind of elements. And I think, and we were talking about this actually before we started recording, about like not needing to be dogmatic or rigid about practice, whether it's your yoga practice, your meditation practice, or your art practice. Those are all forms of expression. Those are all things that help support and fulfill and kind of refill you, that to create parameters around them that might feel draining.
Yeah.
Not helpful. You know,
not helpful at all. No. And like, the reason why I try really hard to like tune in and listen to my body is because I have tried to work when I'm tired or work when I'm really stressed, and it never goes well. Mm. Like the art doesn't turn out right. I feel unsettled. I don't feel connected to what I'm doing. So like, if that means I have to take a week off like and not paint, then that's what it means. Like now I'm getting more comfortable with knowing like there are going to be those times where I'm not physically feeling right, like I'm tired or whatever it is, where I need to focus on some other things. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you can still be creative when you're not painting. Yeah. And I try to use those times to focus on getting out, looking for inspiration, and then doing other things that make me feel grounded, like trying yoga, to incorporate yoga into my day. So yeah, I'm trying to just go with it and follow my own energy.
Yeah. And I think that's really the only way it can be done without burning out, or without then be ending up creating something that really isn't like aligned. We might create something, you might produce something, and it might actually be great for some people, but it might feel awful for you. And then to go back to that sort of cycle of you feeling a certain way when you create, so that it's received by the person who purchases that piece, you don't want to infuse that sort of I don't know, like misaligned energy into your work.
Yeah. I think like also that is that's been the hardest thing to navigate now taking this full time, because I mean, when I first, it was about a year and a little bit, like a year and a couple months that I decided to focus on this. And I put so much pressure on myself at first. I knew I needed to sell art. I wanted to create a big collection. And like, I wanted the end result, but I didn't exactly feel like I was in the right energy to get there. So I had to it took a couple months, but I had to really just like chill out and remember why I wanted to do this in the first place. Yeah. I think that even if you're in a place where you're not aligned and you, like you said, you could create something that looks beautiful. But for me, knowing that it's not in line with like me, I don't know.
Yeah, no, this is actually really interesting that, that this happens to you too, because as someone who teaches yoga and meditation and things like that, definitely something that's been a part of my process over the past few months, but even slowly the past couple of years, is really this like embodiment practice, which I think is so much easier said than done. And a lot of, oh my God, hold on. My dog is clawing at the door. Winnie, why are you doing this right now? Oh my God, I swear. It's like, I open Zoom and she's like, oh, I'm going to come downstairs now, where normally she wouldn't come down here until like 2 o'clock.
I have this guy right here.
Oh, what's his name?
Louie.
Louie.
He's my fat cat.
Oh my God.
And he just got this chair, and I don't know why we spend money on things, because they think it's like a giant scratching post. Oh. So I'm like watching all the corners like while we're talking.
Oh no, Louie, don't touch the couch.
Be good.
But yeah, I mean, I feel like this, like the practice of embodiment is so much easier said than done, and is so easy to skip over because we're looking at the outcome, because we are visionary, because we have an idea and we are passionate and we are driven and we want to create that thing. It's so easy to overlook what it takes and what is required to feel like balanced within ourselves to create the thing in a way that is in alignment with us, not what we think we should do, or just like beelining right to the end goal. And I think that's something that I've definitely had to learn the hard way.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't mean you can't be successful. You can't create something that, you know, is great, but is it sustainable?
Right. Yeah. I think this is going to be like a lifelong practice, because you never have it figured out, and you're always, I feel like you're always just bombarded by, whether it's like other art you see on Instagram or what, like it's all these images and like, I mean, there's comparison that, I mean, if you're not careful, like that's definitely come up for me. So this process has been interesting, just like seeing what comes up, and then also trying to navigate this as like a job, you know, full-time thing, and learning how to deal with like the wave of inspiration. Like you talked about the surge and the stasis, like in the beginning, I think only recently have I started to kind of settle into that. Mm-hmm. Definitely in the beginning, I would freak out. Like I would, like when I didn't feel creative, or like, I would freak out and just think like, oh no, what's happening? Like, where's my creativity go? And then, I mean, you just move through that and it comes back, but like, it can be scary when like you're relying on this for your income.
Yeah. I mean, for sure. Then you feel the pressure to execute and to create. Yeah. And that practice of trusting that the slowness, the stillness, and the space is not just part of the process, but is actually in a lot of ways just as valuable as the active creation. Because without that, your tank is empty. You have no space for, you have no inspiration. So I agree with you. I think that actually is really reassuring that you say too, that it's a lifelong practice. Like this isn't just, oh, okay, I'm learning this in these few months here.
Right.
Like a continual process. And as anyone who does anything creative or does anything where they put their heart and soul into it, they put themselves out there for it. Mm-hmm. There's going to be these points of like challenge or that you need to sort of like work through, you know? So, so I'm glad that you say that because I think that's reassuring to know that it's not the end. You know, people say it's the journey and that's precisely what you're just saying, you know? And it's so true. It's just so hard sometimes to back up and really have the perspective to be like, I know that, but now I actually feel it and have experienced that myself. So I trust it.
Yeah. And I think that's why just being mindful and like having a practice to fall back on, like beyond creation, or like we were talking about rituals before, but just being in tune with your energy and where your inspiration is coming from goes such a long way. Mm-hmm. And you're right, without the break and without that step back, you are just a machine. Mm-hmm. And then what, you know, like
nothing, not fun anymore.
Right.
At the very least, it's not fun anymore.
Exactly.
So I know you have a collection that is, correct me if I'm wrong, completed, but coming out, is it April 9th? Is that right?
Yeah. I don't know when I'm going to just like think it's completed, but I have about like 10 pieces that are done now and I'll keep working on it until probably like 2 weeks before. Mm-hmm. Whatever is done by that point will be included.
It's meant to be done.
Yeah, exactly. So April 9th is when that will be coming out.
And it's called Present Light, a collection of mindfully created nature-inspired abstracts. And it looks so beautiful. And you were describing a little bit earlier that lately you've been sort of settling into some of these like neutrals more in contrast with texture. So definitely, and we'll share your Instagram and your website and stuff in a minute, but people should definitely go check that out because they are so soothing and relaxing and calming, and they evoke that sense of like mindfulness and stillness, that we've been talking about and that it sounds like, and you can feel has been infused into your work. So share more about, I mean, that's my perception of what I'm seeing that you've been creating as I've been following along, but, what was the inspiration or what's been the process for creating that collection?
So it was back in the summer after my last collection. I started feeling like, well, nature has always been an inspiration, whether it's like for color or texture or whatever. But I started to feel like I wanted more, like I wanted my work, not just to be inspired from nature, but to include bits of it. Mm-hmm. I thought that would help me feel more connected, but also, help others feel more connected. So back in the summer, I had started to experiment with collecting rocks. And I had a brief stint, it was very brief, with pigment, like crushing rocks and to get pigment. And that didn't last too long for me. I think it's a beautiful practice, but there are very few rocks around here like that produce pigments. So, I just started to pay attention when I would go out into nature, and what started to happen is I started to get inspired by little things like shells or rocks or whatever I passed along the way. So that's kind of where things began. And then I started to think more about the process and how I wanted this collection to just really be about finding beauty in the ordinary moments or just the ordinary everyday parts of your life. So that is where the inspiration came from. And then I love the combining texture with like these lighter washes of paint. So physically, like that's where the collection wanted to go. But yeah, overall, like I want these paintings to inspire mindfulness and just presence and them to feel peace and peaceful and calming wherever they end up.
Mm. Well, they definitely feel that way. And I feel like this conversation has come full circle in so many ways, just like this symbiotic relationship of practicing and wanting mindfulness and stillness and that sense of soothing and relaxation from nature, but also in a way that we can receive that from art. And then also as someone like you who creates art infused by those feelings and emotions and energy, it's like just such a beautiful kind of, path. So I love that so much. And if people want to connect with you, if they want to hear more about your collection, they should sign up for your email list. They'll be the first to know, I assume. So tell us your website, Instagram, stuff like that.
So my website is jamieorart.com and my Instagram is jamieorart as well. You can sign up for my email list through Instagram or through my website. And that is where I share a bit more. I'm planning to share a bit more about the process, and my email list will always get first early access to collections. So
awesome. Yeah, definitely sign up for that. Find her on Instagram, and I will put those links in the caption show notes as well, because it's Jamie O-R-R is your last name. Yeah. And anything else on your heart or mind that you care to share?
I think so. I'm grateful that we've had the chance to talk.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so I always love to end my podcast with some rapid fire nature-inspired questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Sunrise or sunset?
Oh man. I'm going to go with sunrise.
Underwater or on the ground?
On the ground.
Stargazing or sunbathing?
Stargazing.
And a colorful landscape or earth tones?
Right now I'm going to go with earth tones.
And the coast or the mountains?
The coast.
Yeah. Nice. Awesome. Well, Jamie, this was so great. So fun to connect with you and learn more about your process and your inspiration for your new collection, Present Light. And thanks a lot. It was great to connect with you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for joining me on this episode of the Daily Regrounding Podcast. If you loved it, I would be so grateful for you to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you're listening, as well as share it with a friend. And if you want to work with me, you can go to my website, meredithewinson.com, and have a look at my current nature-inspired meditation, mindfulness, and movement offerings. I'd love for you to connect with me on Instagram, @meredithewinson. Thanks again for listening. And remember, with just one breath, one moment of awareness, or one step into nature, you can reground back to you.